This is a busy Sunday, liturgically speaking. Of course, it is the first Sunday of Epiphany. It's Epiphany Sunday, and we'll talk about that a little bit, even though the text that I chose for this morning is not a, quote, traditional Epiphany Sunday text. The focus of Epiphany is the visitation of the Magi, the wise men, upon the infant Jesus. And, of course, we are thankful that throughout the Latino world that the celebration of Three Kings is a way that really focuses upon the importance of Epiphany Sunday. And we know that in that visitation, we understand that the power and presence of Christ in the world was really declared by the wise men and then shared abroad. So that's number one. Number two, it is, of course, it's clear that this is the first Sunday of a brand new year, and even though we closed out a year, now we are at the dawn of a new year full of prospect and full of hope and full of promise. So that's number two. Number three, we here, as is our custom, to celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month, we will be gathering around this table of the ordinance of communion, and beginning the year, gathered around the table in the wonderful commonness of our proclamation of faith in Christ. And so we're thankful for all that means. We've also, again, talked about all of the things that are forthcoming and unfolding for this wonderful congregation. So what a powerful way to begin the year. So as we begin the year, with all of those things that we take into consideration, the epiphany of the Christ, the gathering around the communion table, the beginning of this year, this passage that I want to share with you from Revelation, it's one that is indeed familiar to us, but I really want us to think about, as we hear it and lay claim to it as God's word to us for this morning, even still, ask the question, are we ready? Are you ready? Are we ready for all that this passage promises and portends? And hear now from the 21st chapter of the Revelation, beginning at the first and reading through the sixth verses, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. And this is John, by the way, remember, on the island of Patmos, when he says the Spirit of the Lord came to him on the Lord's day. And this was part of that revelation, that vision that unfolded. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing and laying claim to the richness of God's word. Amen. Well, suffice it to say, having come through 2017, We've been through something. If there was ever a time to stand in need of prayer, the last 365 days probably are a testimony just to that. If there's ever been a time to try to understand what your foundation is, what the basis of your stability, not only in understanding the world around you, but even in your own life, these last 12 months have probably given us a tutorial of what it means to hold on to the anchor of God's unchanging kingdom. So I dare say that a lot of us, as we look over, in fact, I'll just say this to you, normally I'm interested in, probably most of us are, most of the news outlets in the space of the last several days, if you will, that space between, especially between Christmas and the New Year, you'll get a lot of year-in-review sort of gathering up. You know, they'll retrieve all the main news stories, all the main events, and even the notable deaths, and even all those other kinds of things that have unfolded in the year past. And I'll just be honest, by way of a little bit of full disclosure here, most of the time, I'm a little bit of a news junkie, I suppose, and most of the time, I look forward to doing that. Because sometimes you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, that's right, I forgot that that happened, or even that this person passed away, or that something else transpired. And most years, I look forward and I relish to the idea of being able to see the year in review. But, by way of full disclosure, I was really hesitant this year. In fact, I probably avoided watching some of the year in review because, to be honest with you, there were some things I just didn't want to be reminded. And maybe there are some things I would have probably, if I was watching the year in review, would have had to pinch myself to say, wait a minute, did this really happen? So I think it's important for us to understand that if you've gone through the space of these last 12 months,
so we've been through something. 2017 has no doubt tried our patience, stretched our sense of credulity or believability, caused us on some occasions to scratch our heads, maybe on other occasions to pull out our hair, even metaphorically if we don't have any hair on the tops of our heads. But I've got news for you. Here we are. Here we are at the beginning of a new year with new promise and new prospect and new possibility and new potential and new promises. And the fact that we are able to stand here at the first Sunday of 2018 says a couple of things. First of all, it tells us, yes, that we made it through 2017. And maybe the instructive, the directive for us, like I said a minute ago, I don't relish going back and looking over all the details and hearing all the voices and reading all the tweets from 2017. But I submit to you that if you do go back and realize that were there some valleys, were there some cloud-covered days, were there some moments of difficulty and even despair? Yes, if we're honest with ourselves. But here's my directive to you. Go back. Look at some of those valleys. Look at some of those crevices, if you will. Look at some of those cloudy days. And your assignment is this, to find the reality of the fact that even in those difficult moments and days, the very same God who has promised to never leave us nor forsake us was with you in those moments as well. If you have a God of the mountaintops, you better also have a God of the valleys. And maybe going back on closer examination of 2017, it'll help us to realize that even in those moments when our hearts were vexed and when we stood there in disbelief, even in those kinds of moments, God abides with us. So maybe the setup, if you will, for going into 2018, even though it's unknown and uncharted for us, is to know again the same God who abided with us in all of those things that were downright unbelievable, if you will, in 2017, has promised to not only abide with us, but abide close to us and to sustain us. So that's number one. You gain strength going into this coming year, or this now unfolding year, I believe, by looking back Now, that's not to say, I'm not really a believer, and then this is a conversation we could maybe have over coffee sometime. I'm very hesitant for anybody to tell someone else that calamity or disaster or catastrophe is of the specific purpose and plan and design of God to teach us something, because God doesn't design for us malady or despair. But I do believe that when those things unfold, it's as if as it says in Romans, that all things work together for good. Doesn't mean that all things of themselves are good. Trust me, a hurricane devastating Puerto Rico is not good. Trust me, a man being perched in a hotel room in Las Vegas shooting upon a crowd is not good. Trust me, the kinds of maladies that we've been able to see over the expanse of these last 12 months are not all good, but I submit to you that in those places of darkness and even despair, God is able to be active, to strengthen, to heal, to encourage, to deliver, to be present. So again, we need to understand, as we look over our shoulders, we can see God even in those difficult places. And that reminds us of the faithfulness that the same God who abided with us in 2017, the faithfulness of that God will be with us as 2018 unfolds. But here's the promise. And I want you to really think about this. This is not just a mediocre, mild manner proclamation. When he says, "Behold, I make all things new." And the idea that everything is transformed. And the prospect of who we are in Christ means that the newness of God's presence and power and creation includes us. "Behold, I make all things new." Now we know that we're still right now living in the continuum of all that will happen until Jesus returns. But even still, we can use the beginning, the dawn of a new year, to remind ourselves that we serve a God who does indeed make all things new. And the defeats and the dilemmas and the despair and the discouragement that we've had can give way to the power and promises of a God who abides with us and who promises, again, as it says here, to make all things new. We don't know the timeline. We don't know the circumstance. We don't know the context of how those things are always made new in people's lives. I don't know how someone may very well necessarily be brought out of grief into being restored. I don't necessarily know how someone might be brought out of a difficult situation into a stable situation. But what I can trust is that if God's promise to us is that God will indeed make all things new, God is at work in all of our situations. So here's the good news, or part of the good news. Whatever you brought into 2018, God is fully aware of what you need and fully able to abide with you in your journey, because God makes all things new. But I keep asking the question, are you ready? Are you ready for the newness that God has in store for you? Are you ready for God to give you a new thing to do? A new territory to lay claim to? A new prospect of a dimension of your life to live into? Are you ready? For I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are creatures of habit. We like things to be predictable. We sometimes say, or we often, I should say, we want things to be new and improved and new and energized. But if you're like me, sometimes it takes a little bit of provocation to really step into something that's new and different from what you've been used to. But I think the promise here is so powerful, because what God is saying is that not only will God abide with you in the newness of creation, in the newness of God's purposes and plans for you, but that God is able to strengthen our hearts and our spirits and our minds for just that. So before I go any further, let's deal with it on a personal level. Are you ready for whatever might unfold in your life in these coming, whether it's these coming 12 months, 52 weeks, or beyond? Are you ready for the newness of God speaking into your heart and spirit in a way maybe that God hasn't disclosed to you before? Are you ready for going to those places? Are you ready for an Abraham moment? Go where I tell you to go. Do what I tell you to do. Are you ready for a David moment, have a song in your heart that comes from the relationship that indeed you have with me. Are you ready for a Paul moment, being able to say that even though I was doing something in a different way before, I'm ready to step into the newness of what God wants me to do? Are you ready for a Mary moment, being able to be used of God in a way that you didn't even imagine or conceive of? So understand that God has a history of doing new things and powerful things and calling us into that partnership. I'm excited. I'm excited for my own life. I'm excited for the life of this wonderful church family. And I'll just say this, and this is a conversation that'll hopefully continue now, Deacon, for the next certainly several weeks or months going forth. Are you ready for the newness of what God has been putting in place all the while? I just can't help but believe that a God of all creation, all time, all understanding, and all knowledge knew, listen, way back when, in the 19th century, when this was a new and burgeoning church, that the God of all creation knew that, you know what, all things are going to go fine and things are going to unfold and the life of this church will be such as it is. But I guess what I know, I know that in 2018, there's going to be a new chapter that's going to need to unfold. And even back in 1895, 1878, the God of all creation knew, you know what, haven't formed them yet, but I know the right person. Haven't shaped them yet, but I know the right person. Haven't devised them yet, but I know the right person for the right situation so that this church can yet still proclaim the goodness of God in all the ways that I want it to. Are you ready for the newness of what God has in store for this church family? And I dare say, part of being ready means that we understand that the power and the boldness of what's new sometimes is more than we thought we'd have to bargain for or have to equip ourselves for. But the wonderful thing is this, because God is so good at abiding with us, even in the newness of those moments, we don't have to worry. You know, years ago, my brother-in-law owned a Corvette, Stingray. And he was kind enough to let me borrow it. Now, just by way of noting, the car that I owned, my own car at that time, was an AMC Ambassador, which would never be confused with a Stingray Corvette under any circumstance. No, sturdy and durable, but not the most imaginative car you could imagine. But that's what I was used to. And that's what I was able, you know, to make my way up and down the highway. And I knew just kind of how it felt and the motor was serviceable enough, et cetera, and all of those things. Well, as I said, my brother-in-law let me borrow the Stingray. And I don't even remember what the occasion was. This is before I was married, so maybe I was trying to impress some girl. I'm not sure. I don't know. But the point is this. When I got behind the wheel, and I don't know if any of you have had the privilege or pleasure of driving a Stingray, there's a whole lot of power there. And a whole lot more than I had been used to. A whole lot more than in some respects I was ready for. And I remember putting my foot on the accelerator and thinking, wait a minute, what have I gotten myself into? Because all of this power was literally almost scooted out from under me. And for a couple of moments, listen now, for a couple of moments, I thought to myself, uh-oh, I'm in over my head. I made the wrong decision of borrowing this car. If my brother-in-law didn't have a Volkswagen Beetle, but maybe that's what I should have looked for instead of borrowing a Corvette Stingray. And so for those first couple of moments, the newness of that experience overwhelmed me. And I was hesitant and I wanted to retreat. But you know what happened? After a few more moments, I came to the realization that it was all about the relationship of the gentleness of my foot to the accelerator. and being able to shift, you know, just at the right time, and being able to understand just kind of the all that power was there, but ultimately I would be able to be the one who had control over it. And it took a few moments, but before you knew it, I was gliding down the highway, and I looked right impressive, if I say so myself. But the way it happened was I came to the realization that there was a lot of power there, more than I had experienced before. But if I came to the understanding of how to use it right, it could be a wonderful thing. So, church, Greenwood, there's a lot of power and a lot of potential in what God has in store for this wonderful church family. And maybe at the outset, it might seem like too much. Wait a minute, can't we just do what we've been doing? Can't we just live the way we've been living? But no, God calls us into newness. Jeremiah says God's mercies are new every morning. And the reason we need to understand that is because there are going to be things that unfold in 2018 that didn't happen in 2017. There are going to be people and circumstances you encounter that you hadn't encountered in 2017. And so that newness, that freshness of spirit is the gift of God for you to be able to meet those moments and to meet them not only with the joy and the power and the presence of God, but the wonderful creativity of God who will allow for you to do those things that allow for you to be an instrument of God, for you to be a David, for you to be an Abraham, for you to be a Mary, to be used in the way that God would have you to be used. So are you ready? Are you ready to step into the unknown? I just made this up. To boldly go where no one has gone before. No, I didn't just make that up. But I will say this to you. It's exciting to think about the fact that, we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, let alone next month, let alone the middle of this year, let alone the fullness of an unfolding year. But here's what you do know. You do know that God is faithful, and God has shown that faithfulness through all generations. So I want you to understand this morning that the newness of God's promises can seem overwhelming because they're so powerful and so potent. This promise in Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth, the old things have passed away, all things have become new. That's a lot to take in. But the good news is this, that you don't do it by yourself. In fact, God in God's wisdom understood that in order for us to even understand all of this, God needs to be present. Hence, the Holy Spirit abides with us and walks with us. So go back, look over your shoulder, look at 2017, squint if you must, but look into the corners and the crevices of this past year. And even when things didn't go like they ought to have gone, didn't unfold in a way that made any sense, even in those difficult moments, you'll find that God did not abandon, God didn't forsake, because you're here. The Color Purple is a wonderful book, but it was also a Broadway play. And the main character of the play is Seeley. You remember that's who Whoopi Goldberg played in the movie, if you saw the movie. And Seeley was a theologian. And I mean that seriously, because if you read the book, she wrote a series of letters, and she wrote those letters to God. It's a powerful spiritual book, but in the play, and I had the privilege of seeing, we had the privilege of seeing Cynthia Erivo in that amazing role. And at the close of the first act, she sings a song that simply is entitled, I'm Here. And if you remember Seeley's life, Seeley had a life of being abused and discarded and marginalized and ridiculed and minimalized and hurt and harmed. But she was able to say, in spite of all of that, I'm still here. I'm here. And our testimony this morning, maybe it doesn't have a lot of theological complexity. That's fine. Maybe you won't be confused with some of the great academics. That's fine. But your testimony this morning that attests to God's faithfulness and power and presence, whether it's about having gone through 2017 or whether it's about having gone through any of the difficulties of life that we sometimes go through, is that you're here on a cold January morning. You are here. And I don't just simply mean physically here in church. That's a wonderful thing. No, I mean that you are present in the purposes and plans of God. You're here because God hasn't forgotten who you are. And God hasn't forsaken you. And that testimony of God's faithfulness should give us some thanksgiving for what we've gone through, but give us the hope and trust of what we still yet will go through. So are you ready? Because it's more than you can imagine. Are you ready? It's more than you can really conceive of. Are you ready? Because there's more power that comes because of God's immeasurable love for us, made full and complete in Christ Jesus. Are you ready for what God has in store for you individually and for this wonderful body of believers? And understand this morning that because God wants to do a new thing, God has equipped you to be able to do that new thing. To know the relationship of being in conversation with God, to know the relationship of sustaining and supporting one another. Oh, yes, we've been through some stuff. But we have a God who makes all things new.